City. It's your man, Big Pat, the voice of your Charlotte Hornets, and you're listening to the All Hornets Podcast Network, presented by Sports Illustrated.
Welcome to the episode of The Stinger. I'm your host, James Plara, and joining me this week, Jeremy Brenner from the Kiss of Death Houston Rockets podcast. Jeremy, how you doing?
What's going on, James? It's all good. But we are both one and the same. Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes losers.
We are the losers.
So it's actually going pretty down bad where we are. But you know what? We make the best out of the situation at hand.
We are the NBA punching bag. Like if anyone ever wants to make fun of someone, their go-to ones right now are the Hornets or the Rockets. And it's one of us two, right? Every time.
Yeah. But I'm gonna put that title on more the Hornets side than the Rockets side. Granted, look, the Rockets the last 3 years, not so good, but it's because they've put themselves in this position. The Hornets have kind of
this is true
stuck. The Rockets are doing this, and this is a Hornets podcast. I'm already doing a horrible job trying to get on the listeners' good side. I'm assuming most of your listeners are Hornets fans.
That will be the case. And you are doing a horrible job, but look, that's what you're here to do, right? You're here to represent the Rockets. You got to do what you have to do. That makes sense. The reason you are coming on the podcast today is we're going to talk about some trade back options, some discussions, because it has been floated out there. Rafael Barlow just tweeted out the other day that Charlotte is doing its due diligence and is rumored to be open to trading down a few spots in the lottery. Houston are a few spots back in the lottery, sitting at number 4 with a bevy of various picks and are also probably very gutted. I mean, I'm guessing even if you weren't going to get Victor Wembanyama, I'm guessing you and the Rockets fan base had their eyes firmly set on Scoot Henderson as the next guy. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say, James. I will say this. It's, you know, the Rockets, the biggest thing for this offseason for the Rockets is getting a new head coach, which they've done. And a new point guard, preferably a veteran point guard. But if you've got someone like Scoot Henderson, he's a guy that can, you can build a team around him. And he has the ability. He reminds me a lot, James, of like Russell Westbrook, Ja Morant, like Derrick Rose in his prime, like those guys. And Derrick Rose in his prime often gets overlooked. But that is who Scoot Henderson reminds me of the most, I would say. And if we could bottle that one MVP year that Derrick Rose had before that ACL injury, and we can like get a do-over, I feel like that's what Scoot Henderson could be. And I would love to have him in Houston. So if you're doing your due diligence and offering a trade for me representing the Rockets, I will gladly do my due diligence and listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, and just how motivated do you think Houston are to move up here? Do you think they're like, there's been the report out there that they're content with the options they have at 4? Do you think that's, expectation management? Do you think they're going to be really proactively looking to try and move up here, or do you think it'll be like, oh, if the deal makes sense? What's your kind of grasp on the situation?
Well, there's a price to pay if the Rockets want to move up. And the thing with the Rockets right now is there's not a whole lot of assets that the Rockets are willing to part ways with, mainly because they're all really young. And you don't really know what you have in a lot of these young assets. You know, anyone that is probably on the table that the Hornets would want in a potential trade with the Rockets would probably have to incorporate someone that was drafted within the last 2 years. And the Rockets are, they've drafted, I want to say it's 7 rookies in the first round in the last 2 drafts. So that, and the Rockets still don't know how all of those guys are going to fit in, if they are going to fit in. So to part ways with them, it might feel a little premature and it might feel a little difficult. And so I imagine that in order for a trade like this to happen, the Rockets are going to have to give up current assets and future assets. And another thing with that too is you don't necessarily want to give up future assets either, because you don't know how those are going to play out as well. So it's a very, you know, catch 22 position for the Rockets right now. And I look, they'll listen to all these offers for sure, but it's going to take the very right situation to pull the trigger and go and try to do something.
And in terms of those future assets you talked about, I tried to look at the future draft capital of the Houston Rockets. It is some of the most complicated reading. I mean, I'm used to complicated draft, like, you know, this pick conveys on X and Y, but there are these like three-way Oklahoma City, Brooklyn.
I was going to say, go read Oklahoma City's future. Yeah.
There's so much like intertwined, and it's the better or the least. From your point of view, what do you count as like tradable future assets for that is available that you think the Houston could put on the table in this deal or any other deal?
I think any year where the Rockets have multiple first round picks, it's worth trying to give up at least one of those picks. So that you have, because that was kind of the idea when they made the Harden trade to begin with, is you have all of these, you know, they traded, it was all future assets. They didn't end up getting like tangible, you know, legitimate options because they were trying to tank. And so that ended up in them getting number 2 in 21. That ended up being Jalen Green. They got Alperen Şengün. They traded some picks to go and
get Alperen Şengün.
You will not meet another Alperen Şengün stand bigger than me.
I had Alperen Şengün on draft
not available,
night.
James. Don't even think about it.
I had Alperen Şengün ranked 5th on my draft board on draft night. I was desperate for Charlotte to take Alperen Şengün. They passed on him once with the James Bucknight pick. They then traded back into the first round. I'm thinking they're going to get him. Then they took Kai Jones. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm there with you with the Alperen Şengün fan club. If I'm not the founder, I'm a co-founding member.
I welcome you as the co-founder for the Alperen Şengün fan club. But he is off the books, in my opinion. I think the Rockets' future is probably most linked towards him than anybody on this current roster that isn't named Jalen Green. Like, it's tough. Like, him and Jalen, I feel like, are right there. Like, 1A, 1B in terms of who
Are you sure you can build around a big man who's international, who passes the ball and posts up? I just don't think that'll work.
That sounds ridiculous. When has that ever worked? In the last 3 years, when has that ever worked? But, so the thing is, like, the Rockets are going to need to give up some future assets and some current assets. And you think about, like, there, in my eyes, there's like three different tiers of, you know, kind of Rockets assets right now. You look at everyone that was there before 21, and that's like Jayshon Tate, Kevin Porter Jr., all those guys. Like, those two guys in particular are not needle movers, in my opinion. And I don't think that's exciting you either, James. Like, I can see it on your face. You're not very thrilled right now. But then you have that class of 21 where it's Green, Şengün, who in my opinion are off the table. But then you have Josh Christopher and Usman Garuba, who've kind of gotten a raw deal. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Rockets brought in 4 of the top 24 picks in that 21 draft. And it's hard to play all those guys at the same time. And then you bring in the class of 22, they added another 3 rookies: Jabari Smith, Tari Eason, who I also love, and Ty Washington. So when you look at those 9 assets I've just named, there's 3, I like to classify them as 3, 3, and 3. You look at the top 3 that are untradeable, in my opinion: Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and I would honestly put Tari Eason ahead of Jabari Smith. Wow. I think that Tari Eason is like, and Jabari Smith can kind of be interchangeable with Tari Eason in a way, but I think Tari Eason is going to have, we're going to look back at this draft, and I think we're going to look at Tari Eason a lot more favorably than Jabari Smith, who was the number 3 pick.
And Kush, do you think you are alone in that view, or do you think there are members like, do you think it would be reasonable to think that the Houston front office might have that same point of view?
I don't know if I think the front office feels very strongly about both Jabari and Tari. I think they are still both considered to be part of the Rockets, you know, future plans.
Cool.
And then you look at kind of that middle tier, you'd probably put like KJ Martin, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jayshon Tate kind of in that middle group. And then you have the third tier, which is Josh Christopher, Usman Garuba, and Ty Washington, three guys that are probably not going to be very much longer in the NBA, in Houston, at least. I don't think their futures in Houston are long-term futures. But out of those three, I think Usman Garuba might have the longest staying power in the league. I would love to see what another opportunity would look like for him. So if we were to put Usman Garuba and, say, KJ Martin, someone who's on an expiring deal that is a restricted free agent after the season, so you can match that, like, that's kind of the offer that I think the Rockets would look to move up just two spots. Like, let's keep in mind, Jane, this is just two spots here that we're moving up. So the Rockets aren't going to want to give up all that much to just move up two spots. Now, granted, it's the difference between Scoot Henderson and Amen Thompson. Now, Amen Thompson and Scoot Henderson both are very polarizing prospects, in my opinion, because neither of them really played the traditional route of going to college that 1 year and all of that. They've played in different leagues. Granted, Scoot Henderson is playing in the more, you know, established G League versus Amen Thompson, but it's really hard to deny either of their talents, especially Scoot Henderson. And so that's why the Rockets would try to move up. But in my opinion, James, like, it's going to have to take a monster offer for the Hornets to trade away from two. I don't see how it happens. I think the Hornets should stay at two and take Scoot and call it a day.
So I would agree with you. I think they should stay at two. I have to say, Mitch Kupchak has made some quotes. Even after draft night, he was going on about how you look at the mock drafts as a clear top three. He said, I would take that with a pinch of salt. He's like, I think there's a lot of good players in this draft. Even if we hadn't moved up, he thought we would have got a very good player. He was like, laying all these seeds, I felt, of like, you know, we like guys who maybe aren't at two, maybe just as much. Like, that's how, like, reading between the lines, you start to, like, feel that some of that. And like I say, there was that report that came out the other day. So that's my personal view. I agree. I don't think they should even entertain it. But we have to go through this exercise. And I really do think there is maybe something here. Like, if they've got Cam Whitmore two in their board, like, maybe they do want to drop further back, all right, and pick up an asset. So, I mean, I was having a look here. So, Alperen Şengün, you said he's off the table. I think that's fine because I don't think he really fits with LaMelo Ball that much either. Like, LaMelo, the type of play, the type of pace the Hornets want to play at, the identity they have. Like, I think there's different styles, and that's good. I'm not saying it's a bad style. It's just different. So, I think that's fine. I'm not going to be, you know, suggesting you put Alperen Şengün. Tari Eason, interesting that you know, it sounds like he's always borderline untouchable for you. Again, I don't think the Hornets could have drafted Tari Eason last year. They had the 13th and the 15th pick, and they chose to pass on him. Yeah, which at the time, I would have been quite happy with Tari Eason. I'm not going to lie. I liked Tari last year, but they chose not to, which again shows to me that they did not have Tari ranked. It's not like they were desperate to get Tari Eason and never could, and now they've got the chance to. So I'm presuming that they wouldn't even necessarily be interested in Tari that much. And like you say, all those other guys, like, they might be nice, like, sweeteners to the deal, but they're not the foundation of anything. So for me, it comes down to a few things. One, if you're putting Jalen Green on the table, which from what you said there, and there's been some reports out there in the media that they might look to move on from Jalen Green, but if Jalen Green was available, the other one is Jabari Smith Jr., who was my number one ranked player last year. I would change that now if I could go back, but I still do believe in Jabari long-term. So I've put together a couple of trade packages. Again, not that I support these, but if I had Cam Whitmore as my second ranked player, then I would support these, if that makes sense. So I'm going to run a few past you, and you can throw them out. You can sit on them for a little bit, or if you like it, we can discuss them further. So are you happy for me to throw some your way?
Throw him my way, James. I'm ready.
Okay. So let's get a point guard in Houston. All right. I'm sorry, it's not LaMelo. Terry Rozier in the second pick for Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Porter, and the fourth pick. For Charlotte, this is creating space at number four for maybe whoever they draft, moving on from Terry Rozier, the starting shooting guard, Kevin Porter is more in there as a salary fill. He's got a lot of unguaranteed money on his contract, which Charlotte could get out of quite easily. But the real price here is essentially you're moving back from four to get to Jabari Smith Jr., who is a defensive, hopefully could be a shot maker or a three-point shooter. That's what we thought we were going to get. What are your thoughts on that first proposal?
No, thank you.
Okay. And for the reason?
Here's the reason. I personally think, and I don't want to like spoil any of like your future deals. But like, I just have a hard time seeing the Rockets give up on Jabari Smith after 1 year. And he's not even 20 years old. Like, I just think that the Rockets are at least willing to give Jabari Smith one more year. I don't think that the difference between Scoot Henderson and Amen Thompson for them is worth giving up Jabari Smith.
Exactly. That's the crux of the question right there, isn't it? Is the difference between the two that big they're willing to sacrifice the number one pick last year? I mean, like they lose the PR battle, like, to say that you've got it that wrong. That's a lot of people in the Houston Rockets 1 year later basically holding their hands up and going, we fucked up.
Yeah, what does that say about – and to be honest, like, yes, Jabari had a rough start to the year. And I think that maybe people expected him to play a little bit better because he was the number three pick. But he was also the youngest out of all these prospects and probably the most raw out of all these prospects. Jabari was never going to be an immediate product. And that's the thing about the Rockets is all the players that they've gotten, none of them were immediate, like – instant guys. And so I think when it comes to Jabari Smith, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I do think that Jabari has a potential to be a number three or a number four on a championship team someday, or a number two on a not so good team, which is where he is kind of right now.
Absolutely. I would agree with the outlook on like the long-term Jabari. I think he's one of those. I think he helps a good team a lot better than he carries a struggling one. I think that makes sense. My next one is not including any players. It is simply using a bit of the model of the Markel Fultz trade. So Boston were number one. They traded back to number three, and they picked up an extra first-round pick from Philadelphia. That was the trade. We get an extra first, and we get the guy who at the time was number one on Boston's board. So, like, again, this is where I was trying to read into, like, what first-round picks Houston can put forward. What would you say is the best quality first round pick you would be willing to include in that kind of deal? The one I maybe looked at was a 2025 first round pick, which is Houston's own, because I think a lot of the rest of them are like a Nets pick or it's hard to know where they're going to go, but I don't think they're going rebuild mode. I think they'll be competitive-ish going forward. I don't even know it would have more value, a Nets pick or a Houston pick right now. It's kind of, In like 3 years, it's hard to guess. But any picks that you think you'd be comfortable to put on the table there?
Yeah, and in fact, I'll counter to that.
All right.
You can have four. You can have 20. The Rockets do have number 20 pick in this draft, and a future second. So you're looking at an extra first and an extra first and a high second. To move up two spots. This is a deal that I think the Rockets should absolutely entertain, because the thing is, I just said how seven first round picks over the last 2 years, and some of them are barely able to get any kind of playing time. And then you look at the Rockets, who want to add another top five pick to this rotation and add veterans. And so it's like, well, what's that number 20 pick going to do, you know? So I think the Rockets are going to look to shop that 20 pick in some way, shape, or form, probably to get a veteran or to compartmentalize and get some space. So this is probably – I think this is probably the best deal you're going to get for Rockets. Okay. I think 420 and a high second is probably worth it. Or, honestly, if you want to take one of those – Houston picks and have them heavily protected, like top 10 protected in 25, I think the Rockets, like, to me, that doesn't sound like a whole lot either. So that's definitely something that I would consider, because for the Rockets, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a guy. Like, what they've done the last two drafts is they've kind of just brought in as much talent in the building as possible and see what sticks. They're not necessarily looking for the kind of person that could fit this group or fit. They're just trying to bring the best player available at every single pick that they've had. And they've done that, but they don't all mesh the best way. So getting a guy like Scoot Henderson at number two would kind of exactly fit what the Rockets need right now. They need a point guard. Now, granted, getting a guy like Scoot Henderson may not make them the best version of themselves for 2023-24, which is what they're also trying to do, because they're trying to not have OKC get the number five pick that they were supposed to get. So the Rockets have incentive this year. They have no incentive to tank this year. They have absolutely no incentive, because what could happen to them this year is exactly what happened to Detroit, where they were the worst team the whole league. Yep. And the number five pick. If the Rockets did that this upcoming season, that pick goes to OKC. So the Rockets want to win this year, but if they were to get Scoot Henderson, that would kind of change things a little bit, because that's the kind of player, like I mentioned earlier, James, that's a guy that you can build a team around. And I really think that having him and Jaylen in the same backcourt creates a lot of like athleticism problems for a lot of teams. The Rockets would be the most athletic team in the whole league if they aren't already. I think the Rockets are definitely a top five athletic team in the league right now in terms of just athletes on the roster. Basketball, bottom five. But athletes are there. And I think with Ime Udoka, if he goes up, trades for the guy that he wants, that is what's going to start turning this ship around.
Yeah. So I couldn't completely understand you wanting to offer that deal. And like you say, trade nickels for a dime, whatever the saying is. I don't know my US currencies well enough to be able to make that to make that comment. But despite Charlotte having a poor record, what a lot of Houston fans won't realize, there's actually a big roster crunch. They have like two spaces basically left to bring in people for next year. Assuming they bring in the first pick, assuming they bring back Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, there is a roster issue. And Charlotte already have, as well as the second pick, they have 27, they have 34, they have 39, and they have 41. So they've already got a bunch of early seconds, late firsts, and Charlotte fans are trying to do the exact same thing as you. They're trying to consolidate those into a player. So where I think
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, exactly. Where I think Charlotte would place more value long-term is I think they would rather roll over the asset to future years, to down the road. And that's why you talked about that. I obviously prefer for it not to be protected. But if, you know, that future first round pick, and you know, we're not going to get into a negotiation for 10 minutes here on protections. That's not great podcasting for anyone. But I think they would lean towards taking on a future asset like that much more so than trying to get more draft picks now in this draft, because I think that would be more useful to them down the road in potential trades. I think it would be more useful probably when they are more asset poor down the road. And I just don't think they have the roster space to add more guys. That would be maybe like you flip 27 and 20 and you get a future first. So that could be another thing, Charlotte move up seven spots in the first round this year and they get that future first. That could be another way to like sweeten the deal. But I think any deal, it feels like that would be the path, you know, from our discussion here, that would be the path to go down.
Yeah, or we can always, not for the sake of this exercise, but get a call from that third team. Three team deals in the draft are very common. So I think that there is a world where this could happen, but I'm sure you've got a couple other deals, so I'd love to hear them.
Well, I do have some others, but I don't think they are worth sharing with you from our conversation so far. You don't want to talk about trading Jalen Green away, and not to be rude to any of your tier two and three guys of, you know, Jay Sean Tate, Usman Garuba, Josh Christopher, all those guys. They just not even like moving any needle here. Like the problem that Houston have had, and this Charlotte got the same issue, right? Guys like James Bucknight, Kai Jones, is they're young players who drafted quite high, which at that point you don't want to give up on them because you've used assets to use them, but they've also not been in a position where they've upped their NBA value. If anything, like they are worth less now than the pick they were when they were drafted. And Charlotte have had that issue going on for a number of years. So I don't think Charlotte would be looking to, like, if those guys come to make salaries work, And if it's a, you know, instead of a second round pick, they get Usman Garuba, like, fine. But there is no foundation of a deal that I don't think doesn't include, you know, either first round pick equity or a serious player from Houston's core, which I can also understand Houston don't want to part with, which is why I think it's more likely to go down that future asset route.
Touche. I mean, yeah.
I think that's it. That's it.
Yeah,
isn't
I mean, it sounds like the Rockets and the Hornets have very similar positions right now. They're kind of exactly in the exact same spot. They've got players that are worth like building something because they've been building it for a few seasons now. But where is the ship going to go? And that's what this draft is all about. To me, I don't know. The thing is with Charlotte right now, and kind of, it reminds me a lot of where Orlando was a year ago, where Orlando was the top of the draft. And essentially, given the fact that we know Vic is going to go to the Spurs,
yep,
the Hornets really have the number one pick here.
I agree. Yeah. And
so that's, you know, the Hornets are doing everything in their power to kind of gauge, because if someone offers you five picks for, you know, number two, if someone offers you a deal that you're not expecting, you might as well listen to it. So the Hornets are doing their due diligence. To me, what it reads is smoke and mirrors to get Scoot. That's what it reads to me. And then number three, the Blazers will do whatever they do. That's another thing too with the Hornets, is that because the Blazers are looking to trade out of three, the Hornets have even more power, because it's like, oh, well, you can jump the team that's trying to get to three. You know, I'm not sure how well, I mean, look at the Panthers. The Panthers, they did that too. You know, we had, you know, so many teams trying to trade out of three with the Cardinals, in the NFL draft, but the Panthers were like, well, we're just going to trump all of you and go to number one. So that's exactly what the Hornets can do here. Just on the other foot, is they can, you know, position themselves in a way to where they can get the highest offer. And it's still the highest offer may not be better than Scoot Henderson. So the Hornets have all the cards coming to them, and it's going to allow them to make the best decision possible.
Absolutely. I agree with that. But they have, you know, the fan base has some pressure on them. They don't have great confidence in the front office, you know, perhaps understandably over the last, I mean, decade, two decades, depending on how far you want to go back. And as great as it is moving up, there's a feeling amongst the Hornets fan base is like, oh crap, now there's pressure on us, right? Like, there's pressure. We have to make the right decision now. I think both Scoot and Brandon are great. We're not going to get into the details, but yeah, I really enjoyed talking about this, going through the exercise, getting a view from the Houston Rockets side. I think you've got the little bit of a view from the Charlotte side, but I think there'll be a lot of links between the two teams running up to draft night, just because there's already been some, and Charlotte were always rumored to be listening to phone calls. So are you got anything else to add here before we get out?
We're what, four-ish weeks till the draft?
Yep.
It's going to be spicy. I really do think things are going to start happening here within the next, once the finals start, I think things are going to start to creep up. I don't necessarily know if the Hornets or the Rockets will be involved, but moving and shaking will happen in this draft.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun draft season for sure.
Completely agree. Jeremy, thanks a lot for coming on. Find him at the Kiss of Death podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And I will speak to you again. If anything Houston, Charlotte happens, we will be in touch.
We will be in touch, James. Thank you so much.